You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
I want us to talk about this as we go along. So one of the things I want you to be aware of, that in your bulletin I put a little sheet here. On one side, so like on one side it says April 12, praying the Lord's Prayer, and then it has several things on there, and that's for today. And this is for you to take and to meditate on and to pray through the week, and some other things for you to think on. And then on the back, on the flip side of that, is the schedule of where we are, where we will be. And if we don't know the park right now, on the dates we're out in the park, we'll let you know. But just the things, that the themes that we're going to be following, speakers that we're going to be having, and then moving toward that last date, June 28th, which is tentatively our last service in our building here. I'll put this in every week, but we want you to be aware of all the dates that are coming up through June. And then for today and this week, some things to meditate on from our message. But part of it is what we read out of Hebrews this morning, is to realize, that just all of this, and when you go through Hebrews 11, I just love just highlighting through there, by faith. In verse 10, when he's talking about Abraham, it says, "For he was looking toward the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Looking for that place. Then in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people speak thus, make it clear, who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had not been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, the heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has purposed for them a city." And God has purposed for us another place and a new time and a new day and a new way of doing ministry. And we're looking forward to it. So I want us to set all of this in that frame of imagining a new day. We are looking for God in our lives, and we are looking for his presence to lead us. And to do that, we obviously need to be people of prayer. So I want us to refer back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, as we read this morning, the Lord's Prayer there. But just to refer back to that in your Bibles. Last week on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about being people of the good news, and I want to talk about praying the good news today. And we need to be people of prayer. We are called to be good news people. It's about living out the resurrection, and you don't do that by simply trying hard. It is accomplished through the work of Jesus Christ, and it is accomplished through prayer. And Jesus gave us the pattern to pray. Part of the struggle with having that pattern of prayer is that we often recite the prayer without giving it much thought. And we really, honestly, don't pray that pattern. And we just think it's something to repeat and recite, but we don't give a thought to, there might be a pattern here. There might be priorities that are listed. And so we often pray different types of prayers, and sometimes simple ones, sometimes as simple as, "Oh God, please forgive my sins and take me to heaven forever. And while you're at it, please help me stop sinning now." Or, "Oh God, thank you for showing me how to live. Please help me do it." Or, "Oh God, give me enough food so I can at least feed my family." Or, "Oh God, please bring justice to your world, which needs it so badly. Oh God, please heal." And here's the list. And in and of themselves, these are prayers that we all pray. And it doesn't mean we get it wrong. But we would do better heeding the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. It's not about a list of topics. It's probably giving us a priority in which to pray. And think of it this way. We're invited into a splendid mansion, and there's my home in the Hamptons. And I'm going to have you all out there as soon as I'm finished with it. So, but think about we're invited into this splendid place. And you're driving up, and maybe you missed that first drive there where all the limousines are, you know, and the Porsches and the BMWs. And you end up going around, you're going, well, that ain't my car. I'm going to go around this way, you know. And think about coming up, you've been invited in, and you think into a splendid, and think of that, because that's the invitation of our Father, is to enter into kingdom life, which is splendid. It is immense and powerful and beautiful. And we're invited to come in and to make ourselves at home, but most of us sometimes drive up the wrong entrance. And we drive up to this magnificent mansion and we park around the side and we get a little lost because we've gone in the wrong door. And we come in and we go, I'm not going in the, you know, I'm going this way, you know. And we come in and we're like, but we're disoriented because when you come in a back way, you don't know where you are. And we actually kind of creep inside and look around. We may find ourselves in a small kitchen prep area. And some we see some food is being prepared and there's some waste cans and then you know the people are gonna there's catering and serving are gonna take it out that door and it's not quite what we expected when we walked in. I mean, you look at that place and you go, I thought it was nicer than this. Not so sure. But the sight of you look in and you see the food and the sight you know you see the food and well, I'm in the right place now. There's food. I'm hungry. You know. And we find our way to the bigger area of the kitchen and we see that the full meal is almost ready. But you realize that it isn't supposed to be the way into the house. And the full meal is almost ready. And so maybe we explore a little bit more and we come out of the kitchen area into a bigger hall area. And now we see how the whole house works and we finally get to the front door. And we find that when we get to the front door, because we've come through the house, the host is outside looking out that way, waiting for us to come in. And he's a little shocked, looks around, oh, there you are. And so he's a bit surprised when he turns to see us on the inside already. But now we can sit down and enjoy his company, and it'll soon be time for this wonderful meal. We often pray the Lord's Prayer the way we might have accidentally entered that house. The wrong way. We're human, and we begin, but sometimes we back into the Lord's Prayer. And we start with things that are simple, because those are things that are on our mind. Often we just start with very simple prayers. Help! And it's honesty. And the part of the prayer there is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We often start prayer that way because we know we're in trouble and we don't know what else to do. We cry out for help and we often spend a lot of prayer this way because we don't know any other way. We just start with help. We only pray, sometimes it's because we only pray when we're in trouble. And at this point, if we're praying this way to get things started and we're asked, are you praying the good news? If someone were to ask, are you praying the good news? We would say, I am absolutely praying the good news if I can get out of this mess that I'm in right now. If I get out of this mess, it's good news. Now, I don't want to, you know, mess everybody up. And don't get me wrong, it's vital that we know that we can pray for help. We also need to know that in times of emergency, help is often the first word, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But if that's our constant pattern, we may be missing something. It's important to know that we cry out and He can hear, but we also need to know if we start there all the time, we lose focus. We can tend to also pray, Lord, why do you keep getting me into this mess? We don't talk a lot to God. But when we're late to work again and traffic is jammed up and we need to be to work on time, help! We don't talk to God a lot, but when we lock the keys inside the house and we're on the outside, help! We often pray, don't lead me into temptation, or an alternative, quit testing me. And if this is our stage of prayer, we're only looking for one type of good news. It is the good news that we could get out of this situation. God's response to help isn't the whole of the good news. It's not the whole of the gospel. There's so much more. Then we kind of work our way up in that next part, forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, we don't like that second part, as we forgive our debtors. We just want the forgiveness part on our end. And don't get me wrong, it is good news to have our sins forgiven. If our sins are forgiven, we can have peace with God. That it's not the whole of the good news. It's a key part, but it's not the main thing. It's a room in the house. But we're still working our way from the back kitchen, and we're not even near the entrance hall yet. And we also need to realize that there is a whole lot more to ask for than just forgiveness of our sins. Then that gives us the next part as we back into the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We have to eat fairly regularly. We have our needs, and we try to, you know, and we try to be practical about it most of the time. We try to steer clear of asking for, you know, a Mercedes or something like that. But we know we have legitimate needs, and we know it's okay to ask. It's what children do with their parents. And God does take care of His children, and that is good news. But it's not just about what we need right now. It is to realize that what we need and what we may need right now has a context to it. And this context is a larger picture of the kingdom of God. And we need to take into account His will. We don't forget others. And we don't just pray for our physical needs. We pray for the whole person and the whole need. But we pray, if we're looking at just that, or we've kind of backed into that, we're still missing the whole picture of what it means to pray the good news. And then we move into that part of the here and now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here, now again, if we've backed into it, it's only here that we see the larger plan. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're finally starting to see it. And it's time for us to realize that God has become King here and now. We come into this great hall. We've come out through the kitchen, you know, into that small entrance area, into the kitchen. Now we're into this great hall, and we see the immensity of what the Father has. And we realize that God is inviting us into something greater. We get a glimpse of our host and the beauty of all he has for the first time. And God is inviting us to look up and beyond our own concerns and to look beyond the way things ought to work out. It is to look for the good of the kingdom. It is also to take up our cross and follow Him. The living God, when He becomes King, has plans for His people and the world. And it will transform our longings and our goals. And then we will look for His will on the earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, isn't about this separation of heaven and earth. It's about the coming together of these two places that are God's together. God made heaven and earth to be complementary, and He intends to join them together in the end within the eventual new creation. But it starts within His own work, and we are to pray that. The earth is in a mess, and so it will take some time and some work and a lot of prayer. And it's why we need to see the priorities of the Lord's Prayer and pray in that direction and not back into it. If we keep going through the back door, we're only going to pray our will and our needs most of the time. If we don't come in the front way and see the Father first and then realize here is the immensity of what He offers us, I need to see what His kingdom is about, and then I can see how I can. I still have these needs. I still have these things that need to get fixed. But now I see them from a different perspective. And it's so much better to start with God's kingdom and then prioritize our prayers in that order. We can see God reshaping priorities if we will go in the right direction. The good news is that the living God is indeed establishing His kingdom, and He is moving through His church. And as He intends it in heaven, He wants it done on earth. And He's doing it through the good news of the work of Jesus Christ. And He's inviting people of all sorts to share not only in the benefits of His kingdom, but also in the work through which that kingdom will come to its completion. So we need the priority of the Lord's Prayer to be our priority. To not come in through the back door, but to come in through the front, through the entrance, to see the Father first and to adore Him and to understand that we need our self-centered prayers turned into God-centered prayers. So we look at that house illustration and sometimes we think we invite God into our house, our lives, and He's going to. The problem with that illustration is we think He's going to sit nice and neat in the area we tell Him to sit in. And He's going to sit there and be good, and when we think we're supposed to serve Him and feed Him, and we feed Him, and it's up to Him to make sure He doesn't get crumbs on our carpet. But that's not the case. We invite God into our homes, and then we come to the realization He owns the house. He owns the house. He has come in as the rightful owner. And the disturbing thing about God, and this is what makes us uncomfortable. That's why we like going in through the back door. Let's start with my needs first. Because when we realize He owns the house, He may just start rearranging the furniture. And we don't like that part. But He owns it. But in the first illustration, we are in God's house. We are guests in His house, and we've come in the wrong way. And once we get up the courage to find our way to the front door, we get the courage to go and meet our host. And this brings us to the next part of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name. Honor and glory to Your name. This is only God-centered. And this is the front door. It's why we find it so hard to start here, truth be told, because it is the ultimate act of worship. I'd rather go in talking about my favorite subject, me. But the priority of the Lord's Prayer is to go in and brag on God. To start with how magnificent and beautiful and powerful He is. And to know He is in control. It is the ultimate act of worship, and it is meant to set the tone for the entire prayer. God's name is hallowed and glorified and honored. It's about respect. It's about honor. It's why I love coming into worship on Sunday. Because no matter what I bring with me, when I come in through the front door in worship, all of a sudden I can pray better prayers. I start to see who He is and what He's doing, and what He can do, and I trust Him. I trust Him. It's about God being our Father. It's about God being a stunningly generous Creator. One who is utterly faithful, utterly loving, and utterly determined to bring heaven and earth together in a glorious and fruitful marriage. The starting point for all our great prayer must be worship. Learning to worship is learning to be Christian. To worship is to celebrate the worth of something. And if we come in the front door, we realize here it is. It's God. And we would do well to begin always in prayer by celebrating His worth. Now, there are a lot of times where help's just the right thing. Okay? We're in trouble. Help. But most of the time, the right thing is, God, there You are. How I love You. And again, for me, part of that pattern, and for different people, it's just find that thing that gets you to that front door first. And for some people, it's worship, it's music, it's something in praise that you sing, a hymn, a worship song that enters in, and you start that way. For me, it's the Word. That's just the way it works for me. I start with the Word, and the Word directs me to the faithfulness and majesty and beauty of God. And from there, I say, ah! Now I see how I can pray. I still have this need. But now I see how to pray it. Because I've come into this magnificent place and He has shown me His kingdom. To worship is to celebrate. Good news isn't about us primarily receiving help when we need it, though that is included. Good news isn't about rescue, though that is helpful. Good news is not just about our own forgiveness alone, but it's in there. The good news is primarily that God, this generous, loving God, is being honored and will be honored and has been utterly and supremely honored in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The whole of the Lord's Prayer, with this petition as its launching point, is there so that Jesus' followers during His own lifetime and on into the life of the church, for us, we can celebrate this revelation and action of the divine glory and learn more and more fully the divine name. This God has come to be with us and to celebrate His name and His nature helps us to understand He makes all things new. This is good news. But the very first thing Jesus says is our Father, Abba. We at long last meet our host. And even if we've come in through the back entrance when we see Him, when we see Him, we're here, and even if we've come in the wrong door, He welcomes us warmly. He is our Father. And He is exploding that reality into our world constantly. That's the beauty of starting with Abba, Father. He is not distant. He is here. And He is doing new things. So the challenge is to become people who pray good news. To become good news people. So we need to pray His prayers. And we need to do it by starting prayer right. So let's enter in the correct door. And let us see our Father first. And we worship and we allow the presence of the Father to overwhelm us, and we see Him and we can get on His agenda, and then we can see how to pray for everything else in light of His agenda. When we call God Father, we know in the next line that praying for His name to be hallowed, to be worshiped, we start with Father and we say honor and glory and majesty to your name. When you start that way, you realize that we're not some lowly creature cowering in a corner waiting for some big, mean, angry God to maybe glance our way and hopefully just not hurt us real bad. But that we come in and He's Father. And we worship Him. We come into the one who cares so much for us and we realize, yes, I have needs. But my Father knows how to prioritize those needs and will always bring what is His best into those needs. And His best is always better than anything I could conjure up. Jesus gives us this beautiful pattern to follow. And when we come in to worship, and when we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we can then move to pray for the bread, to pray for the forgiveness, to pray for help. And we can pray without risk that those prayers will collapse into just being merely selfish or pragmatic petitions. We won't shape God's kingdom into our muddled theology if we'll come in the right way. We become part of the good news when we enter prayer rightly. I've said this ever since that day when Kevin Sinapotaratna was here and the Lord dropped into my heart the burden to plant more churches and then everything that's unfolded from that. From that day to this, it has been my heart to say I am done praying my prayers. I really only want to pray His prayers. I really only want to have my eyes on the Father and pray, Lord, You are great. Your kingdom is immense. Could You bring it here, and how do You want that to happen? I really only want to pray that way now. So that no matter what's ahead for us, we can get to the place where we trust that what is ahead for us is His best for us. Not what I think our best is, but what He thinks our best is. And that's a tough thing to grasp. So let us pray powerful kingdom prayers. Let us be healed so we can bring healing to others. Let us be transformed so we can demonstrate transformation to others. Let us pray with arms that are stretched out, one to reach toward a loving God and one to touch a hurting world. And through prayer, let's introduce the two. Through prayer, let's see something immense and beautiful happen in Columbia Heights and in Northeast Minneapolis and in Fridley and in St. Anthony and in New Brighton and in North Minneapolis and in Ethiopia. Let's see something happen because we will come in and we will say, Father, You are great. Help me see what You want to do. Help me introduce this hurting world to this magnificent God. We pray knowing that all work is God's work and it is His work. He's going to work it out. It's up to Him. We cannot manipulate it. What we can do is we worship, we trust the Father, and we pray. We pray, then we move as we sense the Spirit moving and we do the best we can, but it's up to Him, friends. It's not up to us. Let's pray. Lord, we have a city. We have a city that You have helped us to be responsible for. And Lord, how I love this city. Love the people in this city. Lord, how magnificent you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our lives to prioritize the kingdom prayer as much as possible in our lives. Lord, there are those times where we absolutely do need to start off with help. We need to start off with help. But Lord, most of the time, help us to start off with Father. Abba, Father. Lord, how I love you. Lord, how I love you. Lord, if we will come in the main entrance of that magnificent place that is your kingdom, and we will not take on ourselves some false piety of entering in the servant's entrance, but enter in the front as the way of your children. Help us. Lord, we have needs. Lord, we have pressures in our lives. Lord, we have things that are really desperate needs in our lives. Lord, we need to see those things in the light of the kingdom and the generosity of our Father. So help us enter in that door and see Father. Jesus, come. Jesus, come in magnificence. Jesus, come in your beauty. Jesus, come in your power. Our needs are great, but our God is greater. Lord, there is such a great thing that you are doing through this church to touch this city and this world. Lord, thanks for Mia hearing that call and the desire to go to Ethiopia for a month to teach some teachers English so they can reach their country. Lord, your kingdom is coming to Ethiopia as you have intended it in heaven. Lord, help us to see what is ahead for us as a church, the building, the property that we want to be in that is your will, where your kingdom can lead us. Your presence will provide. Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Lord, we trust you for this church. We trust you for this city. We trust you for the kingdom. Bring your kingdom to this place as you intended. Lord, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, the honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Friends, we come to this table today in celebration of all that he has done. This is good news. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is coming again. This table is prepared to remind us of what he has done and what he will do. That what he has done is so powerful in our lives, and what he will do is that there will be that day we will see him face to face, and we will have this meal with him. May it give us hope for now and longing for what is ahead. So as we worship at this table, and friends, let us come to worship today. You may have a need, and as you come in worship, there will be intercessors here that will be here that you can, after you partake of this table in worship, that you would seek them out, and they'd be so glad to pray for you for your needs. But we come to this table in worship. Don't rush through. Spend time around this altar. Spend time in your seat and just soak in the presence of the Lord and worship the Lord as Pastor Grace leads us. But come to this table with anticipation. So we remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and drink. This is the new covenant, my blood, which is given for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Brother Rick and Sid and Brother Johnny, if you'd join me at the table of the Lord this morning. This table is open for all. Worship Jesus as Lord and Savior, and He has changed your life. You are welcome to this table. If you cannot make it to this table today, there will be someone who will have a tray with them, and they'll come and just get their attention. They'll be glad to serve you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come to this table today. You are magnificent, Lord. We worship you. We come in worship. Lord, we may come with needs, but we come in worship. We come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, take these gifts and empower these gifts into our lives. May we live as good news people this week. Empower these gifts into the life of your church in Jesus' great name. Amen. As you are ready, please come and be served. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.